This is an interview with the Kinsley Library with Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff. It's September 30th, 2011, and we're in the, used to be a Western Auto Store. It's a, what do you call it now?
Air Goods Gift and Hardware.
Air Goods Gift and Hardware, which is 211 East 6th Street.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk with Dorothy Airgood. Dorothy, can you tell us your full name?
Dorothy Irene Airgood.
And I guess, where do you currently reside?
211 East 6th Street, Kinsley, Kansas, USA.
USA. And when and where were you born?
Croydon, England, December 20th, 1920.
What were the names of your parents?
My mother was Ethel Sylvester. You want her maiden name?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Ethel Graves, and then became Sylvester.
And that Sylvester is spelled
S-I-L-V-E-S-T-E-R.
Sometimes we'll spell things for our transcriber.
Yeah.
Okay, and your father was?
William Fitzroy Sylvester.
Fitzroy, maybe you better spell that.
F-I-T-Z-R-O-Y.
Okay, just like it sounds.
Yeah.
And how about your grandparents? Do you know their names?
I never knew my grandparents. Well, I knew my grandfather David, which was my mother's father, but I never knew my grandparents otherwise on my father's side.
So
they were all gone before I was born.
And it was David, I'm trying to remember.
David, it would be David Graves.
Graves. And you don't know her name, your grandmother's name?
No.
Okay. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I had one brother, which I think was a William Sylvester. And then there was another brother, but I think he died when he was real young. So I never did meet my brothers at all.
Neither one?
No. But I had one sister that was older than me.
And what's her name?
Ethel.
And what was it like? You grew up in England, so you're going to have to tell us, what was your household like? Did you live in the country, in the town?
No, I lived in the town. It was a good-sized town, 300,000. And it was just a typical town.
What did your dad do?
He was a carpenter.
And so he built houses or did furniture? Or
furniture, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your mother probably didn't work? Or
no, mm-hmm. Just a housewife.
And what was your school like?
Just like the high school here.
Mm-hmm. What was Christmas like?
It was... we didn't get lots of toys like the kids do here, you know. And
did you have a tree?
No. And we never decorated.
No. How about a fancy dinner?
Well, it wouldn't be fancy compared to the ones here, but we always had a real good meal, and then my mother would make a homemade Christmas pudding, and she'd make homemade Christmas pies, and you know, mincemeat pie, mm-hmm. and that was their Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we never
entertained a lot because we wasn't a big family.
Mm-hmm. Other holidays, or what sticks out of your, is your childhood growing up there? What some other things you remember?
You mean here or
no, over there when you were growing up? What some other What was life like for you?
Nothing very different than over here.
Did you have a bicycle?
Oh, yes. Which I was always falling off of and scraping my knees. In so many of my pictures, I'd have my knees bandaged, you know.
And we hope you find your scrapbook so we can maybe see those.
Did you have... Church? Did you go to church?
Oh, yeah.
Church
of England.
Church of England.
St. James Church, Croydon.
Did they have, like, youth group or anything like that?
Not really.
Okay.
Were you a Girl Scout or anything other than school?
I didn't belong to anything like that, no.
How about sports? Were girls allowed to play sports?
Oh, yes.
Oh, what did you do?
I played tennis. Mm-hmm. Used to go swimming.
Mm-hmm. Where did you swim?
We had public bath houses. Mm-hmm. And the school, once a week, would bring a vehicle over and take all of us kids to the pool for 1 hour. So we had 1 hour swimming lesson every week. Mm-hmm. And it was compulsory. Mm-hmm. We had to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good that kids should learn to swim.
Yes, it is. Was it a mixed class? Were there boys and girls or just girls?
No. Over there, we go to infant school, and that would be our first year in school, and it would be mixed. But after that, all the other classes we kept separate, girls and boys.
Did you have uniforms, or did you just...
It wasn't compulsory, but most kids wore a tunic, a navy tunic, and white blouses.
What do you mean by a tunic? Like a jumper or?
No.
a little dress?
No. It was a navy serge. Well, I suppose it was a dress. And it had big pleats in front, square neckline, and then we had white blouses underneath.
Okay, so we sort of call that like a jumper, or what I would call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a jumper.
Yeah.
Did you have pets?
Yeah, I had pets. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Always had a cat.
Always had a cat.
As long as I remember.
Did your parents own a car?
No.
So did you ride your bicycle?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody rode?
Oh, yeah. England's a bicycle riding country.
So you had your grocery, of course your town was big enough, you had your grocery store and everything right there, and you just
walked or went about. Yeah.
And we're talking now, when you were a girl, you had electricity or not?
Yes.
You always remember electricity?
Yes.
Okay. So did you always have a refrigerator that you remember, or did you start out with an ice box?
No, we didn't have a refrigerator.
So you had an ice box?
See, we didn't have electricity till later, you know,
Well, that's what I mean. When you were growing up, did you have electricity in the house when you were a little girl that you could use the lights?
Yes.
But you didn't have the refrigerator?
Yes, right.
And so you had the ice box with the ice man. And how did you heat your houses there?
Just wood fires, wooden coal fires. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had a little fireplace in every room, even the bedrooms. So that's just what we heated with.
So you heated the room that you were using?
Yes. It's pretty cold in the winter.
Well, now how about tea? I've always heard about English tea. Is that something?
England's what?
Tea, you have?
Oh, yes. Yes. We always had tea.
And what time is tea?
What time?
Of day.
In the middle of the morning, we'd have a break and have to have a cup of tea. And then in the afternoon, we'd take a break and have a cup of tea. And then, of course, always at meal times, breakfast and supper time. Or tea time, we didn't say supper time.
Oh, so the last meal of the day was tea time?
Yes.
And so you...
Oh, and sometimes we'd have a cup before we went to bed. That's what I always have to do now.
Have to have a little caffeine before you go to bed.
And it was always black tea. During the war years, our ration sometimes was green tea. And it was horrible. I never did learn to... Like green tea.
Well, that's back in fashion now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're talking about the war. What do you remember about when the war started and what life
was
like?
Well, let's see. That started in September 3rd, 1939. and what I remember of it, it was a beautiful day, a Sunday morning, and I was sitting out in the garden, and we knew the war was going to be declared just any day, and everybody had their windows open. It was such a beautiful day. Oh, and everybody had their wirelesses on, you know, listening to the news. And then it came over the news, Neville Chamberlain, which was the Prime Minister then, declared war with Germany. And we were shocked, you know, shocked, but it still, we knew it was coming. And I know it was lunchtime when we heard this, and we went into the house to start eating our Sunday meal, and suddenly the sirens went off. Take cover. And we thought, oh, we're going to be bombed right now. And what it was, evidently some German planes had been sighted over the English Channel heading for England, and they turned back. They didn't do anything. So then the all clear siren went, and we didn't have any war till the 1940, the winter of 1940. We were starting to be bombed.
Okay, just say, I want to ask you a question the other before we go on. Had you practiced air raids before the war was declared?
No, but there was a lot of organization set up. You know, we had air raid wardens, mm-hmm. which would patrol the streets at night if there was raids on, and things like that.
Okay, so then we'll go back to what you're saying. Was it December of 1940? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think it was December 90. It was winter when we started getting bombed. Yeah.
And was your little town bombed? Or?
Oh, yeah, I've got a book full of bomb pictures. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had it all the way around.
So you would you run then to a bomb shelter?
No, we had our own.
You had your own in your
house? The government would provide shelters, and but we had to put them up. I know my father had to give up his little greenhouse in order to make space for the shelter. Mm-hmm. And so every night when the sirens went off, we would go to the shelter. And it was made for two people, and there was four in my family. And we had to share it with friends across the street from us, which was two more people. And it was a close... We couldn't lay down in the shelter. We sat side by side like this all night long. I think that's why my legs are so bad now. Circulation and everything. Never got to lay down. The sirens would go off at night, and we'd instantly go to the shelter and stay there all night long till the all clear sound. Go into the house, get breakfast, get washed up, ready to go to work, and come home at night, and the sirens would start again, and I know my mother would have a little meal ready for us, and we'd grab it and go to the shelter, spend another night there. Oh, and we'd always take my cat down to the shelter with Blackie, and the friends across the street had a Pekingese dog they called Tookie, and my friend would grab the dog up and bring it to the shelter. And Tookie and Blackie got to be the very best friends.
But your house was never hit?
No. the school was, we live right close to the school where I went to. It was next to us, and the back end of the school was blown out. And the bomb that fell partly in the playground, and there must have been a water, something or other in the bottom. And of course the water came out, you know, and everything like that. Oh, a spring, a water spring. Yeah, we lost the back end of my school where I went to.
Did your town, was there a reason, like did you have any war, like a munitions plant or something like that, or were they just bombing all
just
the time?
Just bombing.
Yeah. They didn't care.
Yeah.
And you had black...
We were so close to London, you see.
Okay, well how far all are you from London about?
10 miles.
Oh, yes, you are close.
Yeah. We were considered Greater London, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a suburb, we'd say.
Yes. Yeah, the Germans were aiming on bombing London now, and so many of their bombs fell short of London and would hit Croydon. So we really got our share of bombs.
And I assume you had blackouts whenever the sirens went on.
Everybody had to have blackout curtains, and you wasn't allowed a chink of light. These wardens that would go around the streets at night, if they saw a chink of light, see, they were right on to you. You had to point and get up. Even they didn't like people smoking in the street, because the enemy going over would see that little light.
Very frightening time to live. You mentioned rationing. What kind of rationing did you have in England?
Well, just about everything was rationed. All meats were rationed. I can't remember how much we were allowed a week. It seems to me we were allowed 4 ounces of meat a week per person. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And of course tea was rationed, which was a hardship. We had teas of it. And I think maybe we had 2 ounces of tea a week per person.
Use that tea over and over again, I bet. Believe.
At the end it was just weak, you know. All it was water. And vegetables, we had plenty of vegetables because we could grow vegetables. And we had flour.
Sugar?
Eggs? No. I can't remember what we had in the way of sugar, but it sure didn't go very far. It didn't last to the next rationing, you know. And jam was rationed. Everything had sugar in. And eggs were rationed. We were allowed one a week, I think. I'm not too sure, but I think it was one a week. And they weren't fresh eggs either. And you could have a substitute we called ersatz. It was dried powdered egg.
How do you spell that?
ERTZATZ, I think. I'm not sure. I think that's what it was.
ERTZATZ.
ATZ, yeah.
Okay.
And we were allowed a substitute with that. And my mother would always want that in her ration instead of fresh eggs, because they weren't fresh at all.
Mm-hmm.
And only just one per person, you know, you can't do much of that. But with this dried food, she'd kind of put it in cakes. She'd use saccharine for sugar in the cakes. So many things were rationed.
Well, now over here, automobile tires were. Did you have trouble with bicycle tires or any rubber for that? Or?
Well, we would have, but you see, by then I wasn't riding a bicycle. I was walking to work. See.
I'm going to say, you were born in 20, right?
Yeah,
and so,
see, that was way back then.
So you're about 19 to early 20s is when you were.
Yeah.
And your
father... almost asleep.
No. Your father just continued to be a carpenter because he would have been too old to to serve.
Yeah.
How about your, well?
Now in World War II, of course, World War I, he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, he and his dad were gardeners. And in England, you know, you'd have a lot of gardeners because we had so many of these big fancy houses, ancestral home, and they'd have acres and acres of grounds, and of course had to hire gardeners to take care of those things. But after World War One, when they came back home, then he turned to carpet to work.
Well, in World War Two, did your mother can from your garden, or?
No. But she made jam. We had two fruit trees, an apple and a plum tree. And she made all of her homemade jam. But you couldn't get sugar, so she had to use that substitute stuff.
Well, if you were growing your vegetables, does England have a longer growing season that you can, not as hard as winter?
Yeah, we don't have winters like we
do. So you could keep like carrots and that sort of thing going.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you met your husband somehow during this time.
Well, I met him during the war when he was shipped to England, and I was drafted when I was 21 years old.
They were drafting women.
Yeah. And we had to go for physicals just like the men. And if our health was good enough, we was automatically drafted either to the Air Force, the Army, or the Navy. Of course, I was drafted to the Army.
And what was your job when you got in the Army?
Clerical work.
And so how did you meet your husband?
Well, we were both, I was stationed in Salisbury, and he was billeted about 2 miles outside of Salisbury. And, of course, he'd come to town with two of his buddies, and I was out on the town with two of my friends. And this was evening. The three of us girls had gone to the canteen where we get tea at night, you know, a cup of tea. And we was on the way home to our billet, and these three Americans came walking along, because the town was filled with foreign servicemen, you know. And they followed us. And they followed us all the way up to where we lived. And we was about ready to go into our place. And they called to us to stop and talk to us. They talked to us. And they were really nice. And got into a conversation. And that's where it all began.
And you were living like in an apartment or something at this time?
No, the Army had requisitioned houses.
Oh.
We were in big houses, and the Army took them over. I think whilst I was in the Army, I must have lived in at least 5 different houses, because they would put us in one and then take us out and put us in another.
He picked you up off the street, is what you're trying to tell.
Sounds bad, but it really wasn't.
No, it doesn't sound bad.
The funny part was, Stuart and we made it together. I mean, we liked each other. But the other two girls and the other two men, nothing came of
that. So what did your parents think when you brought home this American?
Well, they liked him, but they never met him but twice. I think they invited him home for a weekend. He managed to get 36 hours off, and I think that's the first time he met them. We took quite a risk when we got married, because I knew him for such a short while.
How long?
Well, it would be about a year. I didn't know his family, and he hadn't known my family. And I didn't know what his friends were like back here in the state. And it was a big risk when I look back now.
Mm-hmm.
I was so fortunate that I had a good marriage and a happy one.
Well, and you were brave also.
Well, now I guess I was, but I didn't think about that.
Now, you told us before the tape, what did Stuart do in the Army?
Yeah. All they did was bake bread.
He was a baker.
Baker, yeah. Yeah, they didn't have to prepare meals or nothing. But you see, his hours were different to mine. He was on duty every night from midnight to, I guess, 6 or 8, doing all that bakery work. And see, I worked for the day. So we had a hard time, you know, spending a few hours together.
And what did you do in those hours? What was the entertainment for young people?
Well, of course, there was 2 cinemas in this town, and then there was a Garrison Theater that put on plays, and this was a small town, mm-hmm. Salisbury. It's a very old historical town, but there was country all around, and you know, we could go for walks along by the Avon River and
do picnics or just walk.
Well, no picnics. See, I couldn't prepare any picnics.
Yeah.
Had to eat at the billet all the time. Yeah.
Well, did you have to pass a physical to be in
the Army?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We went before several doctors and, had a real good physical. And I remember one of them said, you will hear from us in a couple of weeks or thereabouts. And I thought, oh dear, 2 weeks. And sure enough, 2 weeks, I got a notice from the government to report somewhere or other, and then I knew that I had been drafted. So the next thing, the instructions were I had to go to London. I think it was Victoria Station. There was a train there that was going to pick up all of us women, and from there I went sent us to Harnett and Devon. That's where I took my training.
Maybe we need to spell that.
H-O-N-I-T-O-N. And then after we had our training, I was sent back to Salisbury, and that's where I spent 37 months.
How far is Salisbury from your hometown? Are they close, or?
Well, it would be close here. I think it was pretty close to 100 miles.
Oh, yeah. It was a ways.
Yeah.
And were these only unmarried women that were drafted? Or did they draft married?
I think it was all unmarried, because those were children. They wouldn't want them.
And what did Uncle Sam make you guys do in order to have this international marriage? Were there any requirements that the Army put on for you to marry Stuart?
They didn't want us to marry foreigners, or rather the Americans didn't want us to marry foreigners. And I know before we got married, we had to have what they called a 3 months cooling off period. Yeah, they wanted us to be disillusioned. And I was called before one of Stuart's officers, and he told me all that I could expect and what the things were. After I met with him, by then, it was almost time for invasion in England. And
D-Day.
Yeah. I knew that was coming up, and we thought, well, if we have to wait 3 months, we'll never get married. It wasn't enough time. But anyway, D-Day didn't come until after we were married. But the funny part was, Stuart made all, he was in Weymouth then. He wasn't stationed in Salisbury. They'd shipped him to this area where they were ready to go overseas.
See, that was Weymouth?
Like, yeah,
how
that
you
was
spell that?
Weymouth. And that was where they were going to leave to go overseas. So, anyway, he had to make arrangements for us to get married. He contacted the church and everything, and they said to him, you have to have 3 months placing bands, and that meant in the church every Sunday it would be put to the congregation whether it was okay for us to get married. Well, Stuart didn't know about that, see, and it was almost time we wanted to get married right there. Well, anyway, they wouldn't marry us, so the clergyman said, she's going to have to go back to Salisbury and get a special license. Well, Salisbury was quite a ways from Weymouth, and I thought, I'll never make it. And he said, I can't marry you after 4 o'clock in the day. That was their rule. And anyway, I went right back to Salisbury, and I stayed at my billet that night, and the next morning I went down to this place to get the special license. And then I hot-footed it to get a bus to go out to Weymouth, which took forever because, see, with the war on, there were so many of these. You'd run into, like, army vehicles and all of
convoys.
That. Convoys. Yeah, yeah. And anyway, it took a long, long while for me to get to Weymouth. But I just got back. I just got back, and I got changed into my dress. And got to the church. We made.
What was your dress like?
Blue, and I made it. Every stitch of it I made, and I made it out of 1 yard of 54-inch material. And you know that's not much material, and. I had to do it in my billet that night, so I'd lay it out on the material on the bed, and you know, I had to put my pattern this way and that way. It was all just, anyway, the dress was pretty and it fitted. It was short, it wasn't very long.
And so you got married, and then did he participate in D-Day and go over?
No, he went over right after.
Right after, of course, when they were safer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when did you see him again?
Let's see. He, shortly after we married, I think he was able to get to Salisbury twice. No, once. And he called me on the phone, and I missed him.
Mm.
Yeah, because he was telling me that he thought they were leaving. Wasn't sure, but he thought they were leaving. And I never saw him again till I came to Makokata. Well,
he came home.
He was, yeah.
He was here, and then you joined him.
Yeah. Well, when I see the army sent us over here, I mean, we didn't pay for our travel expenses. And they notified him when I was due to leave and when they thought I would arrive. And I came over here. It was a little Greek vessel. I can't remember the name of it. It'd be in my scrapbook for the
You've got to find the scrapbook.
I know. And anyway,
How long did it take to make the crossing?
10 days. See, it wasn't a very big vessel. Mm-hmm. And he had time. Where he worked, the man said, you can take a week off and go a meter, which was what we wanted. Mm-hmm. And of course, he had to come to New York, and I think it's Ellis Island mm-hmm. where we land. And I know on the vessel before we landed in New York, they announced all the girls that were going to be met by husbands. And of course, I was lucky. He was there waiting. And
this was basically a whole ship full of women coming to join their husbands.
Yes, right. And children.
And
see.
Children.
Yeah. Because some of them had got a baby, but then, you know. So
you met in New York.
Yes, and let's see.
And he was out of the service, discharged by this time?
Yes, because he was allowed a week off. And got to think now. He had a job to get a hotel. He was there ahead of me a couple of days, and hotels were very scarce then, and he managed to get a hotel. He met me, and of course we was able to see New York, different, you know, sights. And
sort of had your honeymoon finally, maybe.
Well, that, well, I guess that was it. And then we headed back to Iowa.
And how'd you get here? Train or car? Or?
We came back by train to Iowa. Yeah.
Now, what did you think of? Say that word again.
Maquoketa.
Maquoketa. When you first got there,
it was a nice little town. Yeah.
And you met his parents. Is that where his parents?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a little town about 7 miles outside of Maquoketa. His parents had a vehicle, or at least it was Stuart's vehicle, and they were there and met us. So then they drove us back to Maquoketa.
And then how, it wasn't long before you came here. How did you
well,
get...
let's see, Stuart's parents weren't too well. They were both sick. And his mother had a heart attack, and she passed away a year after I came to this country. And Stuart's dad was still alive. I know he got real sick that winter, and the doctor said, you've just got to get out of this Maquoketa, because we had the Maquoketa River right alongside of us. And we was 15 miles from the Mississippi. So it was a very damp area. And so he said to Stuart, you've just got to get your father into a drier climate for the winter. So we went to Texas for the winter and then came back. And Stuart had always wanted to own a Western auto school. We had a big one in the town, in the Maquoketa. You want me to stop?
No, here, here.
And anyway, he decided, an uncle of his had just left him just a little bit of money, and it was enough that we was able to open, you know, a small store. So Stuart said, well, my dad would be able to help us and assemble wheel goods, bicycles, you know, things like that. And he suddenly said, you know, I'm going to get married, I believe. This was after a year or so after the mother had passed mm-hmm. away. And he married an old school friend. So we lost Dad. He wasn't able to come to Kinsley with us. And then, of course, we opened up here in 1949.
And what was the store before you, when you came? Was it empty?
It was empty. I think there had been a meat market here or a food store or something. But it had been vacated for quite a long while.
And you lived Always lived upstairs?
Yeah.
How was it to meet your Stuart's parents?
Pardon?
Were you very nervous when you met Stuart's parents?
No, because his mother had corresponded with me, wrote nice letters, you know. She was tickled to death to think he was going to marry an English woman. And you see, his mother's side of the family were English. Mm-hmm. So she was really happy. Now, Stuart's dad was from Germany. You know, his parents were from Germany. But I know his mother was thrilled to bits. And they couldn't have treated me better if I'd been their daughter. They were wonderful in-laws to me. So I've been very, very fortunate that I married into a family like that. His folks were just like my parents, never rich, hard workers, and believed in the same things, weren't drinkers or anything. And it was marvelous when you think that, well, we just clicked. We were both so much alike, you know.
What were the big changes you found when you came to America? What?
Well, I think the what amazed me so much was this was such a vast country. Everything seemed so big, you know, wide open spaces. And Port England, just a small country. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what the biggest change I had.
How about food?
Well, yeah, here you seem to have more fatty foods than we had in England. And I guess people said the English fare is bland. It's not flavorful like here. But that's not so. English food's good. I had a job getting used to fried chicken.
Oh.
I mean, we had had chicken in England, but my folks would always roast it.
Mm-hmm.
We never had fried chicken.
Well, again, you're in the fat there. We like our grease over here.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's why so many Americans are fat.
So what was Main Street like when you got here? What other businesses were there when you first came?
Across the street here, where twice as nice is, there was a big clothing store run by Earl Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And he had clothes on one side, and his brother-in-law had shoes on the other side, Vancouver. And they were there for a long while. And then I think Mary
Fox.
Mary Fox bought that.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, you know, too. But
were there other hardware stores or?
Well, up in the next block there was Gamble's. And down here there was Firestone. I think that was the only other.
And there would have been one or two lumber yards at this time.
Oh, yeah, there was a couple of lumber yards. But across the street, in that narrow store that's now the insurance store, mm-hmm. It seems to me Giffords had it, I believe. Do you remember Dale Gifford?
I remember Dale Gifford, yes.
What did he have in there?
A jewelry store, I believe. Because after they were there, they moved in next to me here. Then from there on, they moved up to the old bank building. And then, of course, they both passed away. But there was numerous little stores across the street, and they kept changing. There was an appliance store, I think, when we came, run by Harnish. Do you remember that? And there was a bakery store run by Lloyd's.
Where was that?
Across the street. I can't remember in what order they,
mm-hmm.
But they move out and then another one would go in. But that was a good bakery store because I was always over there buying stuff. And then there was the store on the corner was run by Mrs. Boer. Her husband was a professor at this school. Do you remember that?
I know the name.
And that was an old, old store. And she ran that for years as after he passed away. She ran that as a grocery store. Then it seems to me like they pulled all of those stores down. That's where the greenery is now, across the street. No, they didn't pull the stores down. People had moved out and Littles took over, furniture store. At one time they were up there where the drugstore is. And then they moved across there. And then they moved here and pulled the stores down.
When you first came, were there restaurants downtown?
Yeah. There was one little restaurant right across on the alley here. And it was a good restaurant.
You remember what it was called?
Coffee shop?
Yeah. But it was a good shop. And they'd stay open till midnight, you know. I mean, they didn't just close early. It was opened early in the morning. His wife had come and open up and do the cooking. And she'd stay on till about 2 o'clock in the day, and then he would take over until about midnight. They never let help run the store. Either he or she were there continuously. And I think that's why they had a good store. You know, when you watch your help, you have a good store. Yeah, because they're not goofing on. But there was a lot of eating places, I think, when we came here. There was one down there by the theater, just a little one. And there was one up there right on the corner on the next block up there. And there was one over there by the bank. Yeah, there was a lot of eating places.
How did the business people react to you? Did they welcome you and encourage you and help you with the store? Or?
Well, we kept hearing rumors. They'll never last. They'll never last. And I know Stuart said, we're going to last if it kills me.
And that was 1949. Yeah. And this is now 2011. You laughed.
I wish Stuart knew I was still running the store.
Well, maybe he does.
Who knows?
So when you came to Kinsley, I know you went to the Methodist Church later.
Yes.
Is that where Stuart, was he a member of the Methodist Church?
Yes. Okay. He was in Coquitlam.
How different was that than the Church of England?
I didn't think it was that much different.
Okay.
Not really. The communion, I know, in the Church of England, we'd always all drink out of the same cup. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see much difference.
Okay, what were your hours at the store here when you first opened?
Well, let's see. Stuart would always open up, and I think he was here by about 8:30 maybe. And I wouldn't come till just after 9 or so, because I had my breakfast dishes to do and pick up, you know. Mm-hmm. We never closed at noon. We would take turns, you know. And I think we used to close at maybe 6.
Then did you stay open later on the Saturday night?
Oh, yeah. We'd be open till about 10, maybe. And there was such a big difference on Main Street. You know, Saturday nights, the town was full of vehicles where the farmers were coming to town. And of course, that was their one and only day. And Saturday, they'd come meet their friends and visit till midnight and go to the show and then finally pick up groceries at midnight.
When you were in England, did you have any hobbies? Like, did you learn to embroidery or crochet or knit?
I love to embroider and knit. Okay. I was always knitting. You'd never go to the store and buy a cardigan or a jumper or anything like that. You always did your own knitting. Yeah, I love to knit. And I haven't knitted since I came here. I most probably wouldn't know how to do it now.
So what changes did you see in the business community over the years?
Well, of course, so many have left now. They've closed down. And you know, so many people say, well, this town's going to the dogs. But you know, it isn't really. We lose a business and something else moves in. And maybe not where the people moved out, but maybe down on the highway or somewhere. So I really don't think we've lost a lot of businesses here.
What do you think caused businesses to leave?
Pardon?
Well, you're the only hardware store now.
Yeah.
What caused the businesses to leave?
I'm just trying to think. Gambles was the first one to leave. Let's see, I've got to go into my mind. The old man sold to his son. Why he got out, I don't know. And then they sold to another outfit. And I have no idea why they gave up. Now Firestone, I have no idea why they left either. He was an elderly man. It could have been health reasons. I don't know.
But your business is not, you don't sell as much as you did back in the 50s.
No, because when I was Western Auto, we sold everything. I mean, they provided us with whatever you wanted, we could get from them. But it's not like that now. I'm not into automotive stuff very much. What I have is what I've had, and I can't locate a place that would serve me with the right prices, so I leave it alone, and I just sell. I just want to stay here. I just don't want to be upstairs sitting doing nothing. And it's nice visiting new people.
Well, did you drive in England?
Because we never had a vehicle.
Okay. But did you learn
vehicle, to drive? You had to be pretty rich to own a vehicle back then.
But did you learn to drive here in the United States?
Yes, yeah.
Did your husband teach you to drive?
Yes. And I think I used to scare him to death. Take corners on two wheels.
So you were brave enough to learn to drive?
Yes.
Some people never do.
Well, I gave up because I got glaucoma in my eyes. And I just didn't feel safe on the highways then with my eyesight being a little different. And I thought, it's just too risky. I'm just going to give up. I know Stuart wanted me to keep on. He said, well, just stay and drive around town. But I never did.
And did you and Stuart ever get any time off? Did you ever get to take a vacation?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did. Who took care of the store then?
There was a Vivian Huckstep. She lived at Lewis. Mm-hmm. They were really farms south of town. And she would come in and run the store for them. But we go over to England about every 5 years for 3 weeks.
That was wonderful.
That was one thing Stuart insisted on. We never bought a fancy house. This apartment upstairs, just an old made over, it was a lodge hall, but it's an apartment. And he said, well, do you want a fancy house? And I said, no, I've never been used to a fancy house. And he said, well, I never have been either. Let's take the money that would go into it. And he said, we'll take trips back home to see your parents. He really thought that was what I should do. And he was so good about that. And they were all so happy to see him, and he liked them so well.
Well,
then again, I was very fortunate. Mm-hmm.
Did you fly to England?
That's what we did every time. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one time we went over either on Queen Mary or the Queen Elizabeth, and then vice versa coming back. And why we did that, when Stuart was shipped over to England during the war, he went over on the Elizabeth, and of course, you know, that had been one of the English luxury liners. And every fancy trimming was taken out of that vessel, and it was converted for a troop ship. And thousands went over on that ship, because Stuart said, if a submarine had hit us, he said, the Americans would have lost a heck of a lot of fighting forces. So he wanted me to see that vessel. And he wanted to see the Queen Mary, and of course by then they'd been put back to their original trappings and that. And that was the only time we went by ship, but the other times we flew.
Did that take about a week by ship, about in those ships, or?
Four or five days. Yeah. It wasn't really much longer, and it was very enjoyable. Mm-hmm.
Now this store, it has the original ceiling, right?
Yeah. Okay. And the upstairs was the same.
Okay.
But when we had it as an apartment, we had drop ceilings put in. Because see, this is all to me. Mm-hmm. We wanted to keep some of the heat in up there. You know, people come in and they say, oh, this is a beautiful ceiling. Maybe it is to some people, but a few years ago there was an antique dealer from Texas in here, and he oohed and aahed about this ceiling, and he said, back there in Texas, I could make a fortune out of that ceiling. You know, antique people, when they're building, they want to have these old-time ceilings.
And you've never really remodeled much in the
store.
It's just kind of the way it was when you got it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I thought. I was just making sure my memory was working.
Yeah, I guess this is about one of the oldest stores here now, isn't it?
Do you know about when it would have been built?
I have no idea.
It was Pop's Meat Market. Pop built it.
Yeah.
I have that information at home, but
is it 1900 or before?
I think it's 1900.
Did you ever know his wife?
No.
She was a character.
I never knew the Pop family. I just, Sally Beidelman.
Yeah, married into that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's part of her family, and so I know that, but I never met him.
Now, old man Pop was a very nice man. He'd come in here sometimes, and there'd be a chair back here, and he'd sit and talk to Stuart, and I think he just wanted to get away from his wife. I know, sir. I could say a lot, but I won't.
He built this store. You know, there was a wood store here.
Yeah. Now, when we came here, there was a great big, I don't know what you'd call it, big round cement thing out back there. Took up half the room. And it was what he made bologna in. He was at one time called the Bologna King in Kingsbury, you know it. He made real good bologna.
And it was a secret recipe.
Yes, I guess so.
That's what, in some of the articles, it said he had a secret recipe. Yeah.
And then later, I think after he died, Weidenheimers became the bologna makers in Kingsley.
So this was a big cement, by big, how big are you saying?
Oh, enormous.
6 feet?
Yeah, at least 6 feet more or so in diameter.
And it was inside or outside?
Inside.
Inside, and it was a said like a big cement vat.
Yes, yes. And that was what he made his bologna.
Huh.
But it was in their way when we came here. I mean, it took up a lot of their space for merchandise coming in. And finally, Biderman, the one that was married to Pop's daughter.
Bill John.
No, he's dead.
Oh, Chester.
Yes, he's died, hasn't he?
Yes.
We said, Chester, is there any way you can get rid of that thing because we don't need it? Or he said, I'll take it, and it's up there where they used to live in the garden.
Really? We may have to go take a picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, did you own the store at that time, or were you leasing or renting or whatever?
No, we rented. Yeah.
So when did you buy the store?
Don't know what year. I was tired of going down to where Pops lived every month to pay the rent.
Now
his wife wanted that right on the first of every month without fail.
And there would have been refrigeration here too, right? That or had they taken that out?
Well, there used to be a big refrigerator in the middle of this store. That's where the floor over there is kind of off. And I suppose they put their frozen stuff in there. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, way before we got here.
Well, that's interesting. About I'm going to have to look up how bologna's made now. I didn't realize
it was good.
You know, you needed this big...
Well, of course, we never had any of his. He wasn't doing anything then. But I know Weidenheim was exceptional. They'd had customers come in, I think it was once a week they made bologna. They'd have steady business.
Hmm. Yeah. And you did all of your trade here in town. You were able to get your clothing and your shoes. And
you
didn't have to go out of town at all.
We had, what, a couple of little clothing stores. Well, of course, Alice. And then there used to be one up here on the corner. Duck Walls sold blouses and things. I'm still wearing a blouse that I got up there on the corner. And I think I paid $2 for it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, way back then. And they had jewelry, you know, a dollar, and earrings, and things like that. Real cheap.
And you always doctored here in town?
Oh, yeah.
And you remember any of the changes in the doctors or the hospitals or...
Well, thankfully, I never had to go to hospital.
I bet not.
But I went to Unruh. I think he was the doctor I doctored with. And I think he was down there somewhere, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next to the Ford garage.
Yeah, I guess that's where it was. But I think that was the only doctor I went.
You never had any operations or any surgery? Well, I mean, I know you've fallen, you know, in later years, but you never had
You just got good genes.
Just tonsils out my adenoids when I was a baby, or little.
That's wonderful.
And then you're a member of the Methodist Church. What changes have you seen in the Methodist Church over the years?
Well, not too much, because we didn't go there all that much. Mm-hmm. And Stuart got to the stage of he enjoyed the Wichita of the First Methodist Church.
Yeah, we listened to it still.
And it was easy to just, on a Sunday morning, sit for an hour and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. I don't go out to church. Yeah.
When did he pass away?
December 19th, 1999. He just didn't quite make it into the new 2000.
And as a young couple, when you first came here and everything, what did you do for entertainment? The movies and did you dance? Were you dancers?
No. Of course, he always liked his TV, his ball games and things like that. But I always had something to do, you know. And we'd go to the theater. It was a lot cheaper in those days.
Were you card players? Like some of them?
No
card players either? There's a lot of that.
I guess we were old fashioned.
Well, you were a working woman when most of the women were staying at home. So, you know.
Yeah, I've worked all my life in this school.
Yes.
Always. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was nice not to go someplace, just to stay home.
Well, like we'd go on a like home to see my parents. But, of course, at weekends we'd maybe decide we'd like to go to Great Bend or somewhere to eat. But,
so you were closed Sundays?
Yeah, oh, yeah. But I mean, just apart from going out of town just to eat and something like that, we didn't do much of anything.
Now, we've asked everybody, and I don't think your business was involved, but about race relations, and you didn't have Mr. Winchester or anything clean the store, did you?
They were here when we
came, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he would come in.
He'd come in.
Oh, yeah.
But you
They
you
were a nice family, them and the Gaines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it didn't bother you to wait on them?
Oh, no. No.
Did you notice the difference? Was there a difference in England and America as far as...
The racial?
Yeah.
You mean? We had a lot of colored people over there, so I was used to colored people. We had a lot of blacks over there, Jamaicans, you know. And
they were allowed to eat in restaurants and and everything. So, because when you came here, there was a lot of the country where they were not allowed to.
Down south, yeah.
Happened in Kinsley, too.
Yeah, it happened on the street.
I didn't eat that much out in restaurants to notice, but I'm sure... the colored people were allowed in, I believe. I wouldn't want to say they weren't, but I...
In Kinsley?
In England.
Yeah, I think they probably were, yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Hispanics? Did they come into your store?
You mean like the Mexicans and things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a lot of Mexicans. We have, through the years.
We had another question about changing roles in women, but you were drafted. So,
yeah.
And you've been sort of you've been pretty much would you consider yourself a liberated woman all your life? I mean, you've been a...
I suppose.
Were you a partnership with Stuart? Did you feel you owned half the store?
No, not really.
It was his store?
Yeah.
And you worked here?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But, I mean, we got along so well, you know, and everything, and. But we were never a couple that said, this is mine, that's yours, you know, nothing like that.
Well, did Stuart bake for you?
Oh, yes, he was a good cook. I think that's why I'm not a very good cook. Well, he used to like things that I didn't want to cook. Now, he was a big fish lover and a big liver lover. And I hated to cook either one of those. So he would automatically do it. lunch, you know, and do the best meals.
Now, I always think of the English liking the fish.
Well, I did. Fish and chips.
Any other questions before we get to the concluding one?
Thank you. Now, Stuart always had bicycles. He always prepared the kids with bicycles.
Yes.
So that was a big part of your business, right?
Yes.
Bicycle repair.
He's a bit like I call him the rubbing doctor. You know, he has people come in from all over to have massage done down here. And Stuart would have people in, even from Larned, Port Louis, Oakley, Greensburg, and they'd bring up their bicycles to be worked on. Of course, he could only do it when in spare time we would be busy waiting on train. But I have so many kids still come in. They're, of course, grown-ups now, and they'll say, Stuart fixed their bicycles and things like that. Or my dad bought my first shotgun here, or bought my first bicycle here. My red wagon came from here.
A lot of BB guns for Christmas, maybe.
Yes,
BB guns.
But that's something I won't share. And BBs. I don't like these little animals shot at around here. They can go out of town for BB guns and BBs. That's a no-no to me.
When you first opened in, that, say, the 50s and 60s, did you have some help? Did you have part-time help or full-time help?
Yes. About 4 o'clock, we'd have a teenager come in and help assemble stuff that Stuart couldn't get done. And it was just school help we had, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when we took our trips, it was Vivian Huckstep that would come in.
So really just like one part-time person was what you would...
Yeah.
You guys worked pretty hard, I think.
Yeah, I guess we did when I look back.
That's probably why you're still moving now.
Yeah, could be. I hope to move for a little longer.
Okay, this is sort of a big question for you. It's looking back overall, how do you think, you know, moving to America and living in Edwards County affected your life?
I don't know.
Well, think about how it would have been different if you'd stayed in England. I mean, what changes did this country and marrying Stuart bring?
Oh, dear.
Was it a good change, or was it a good thing? Did you ever regret coming here?
Oh, no, never. No, I can't think of anything.
And you talked a little bit about the future of Edwards County. You're hopeful that the Kinsley will keep going, aren't you?
I hope so. I don't know why it shouldn't. It's such a nice little town. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about everything here.
Yeah. We got a nice grocery store. A real nice grocery store. Of course, we lost that wall, which people regret. But then...
Maybe they'll find something else to come in.
Well, they're going to have that store move into Greensburg, that, what is it, 90-something or other?
I think they're getting Dollar General or something.
Well, maybe it's that.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah. They're going to build, aren't they, down there. Yeah.
Anything else? You said you most of your relatives you You have a, do you have a niece or nephew still in England or something?
I have a cousin.
A cousin.
And she's in Canada right now. But she, when she, when her husband's healthy enough, they commute back and forth to England because she has a home there and he's got a home in Vancouver. And of course I've got second and third cousins over there, which I'm not too, well, I'm acquainted with them, but I mean, I don't know them all that well.
Because you can't see them.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I know Stuart was on the library board. He was on the library board when I was hired.
Yeah.
So he was involved in that, and he always read. Was he involved in any other organizations, or were you involved in organizations?
That was one thing I just didn't get involved in, an organization. Yeah.
Was Stuart a Rotarian?
Oh, yeah, for years and years. He thought that was a wonderful organization. They did a lot of good in the world. Yeah.
And you used to read all the time, too?
Yeah. Till my eyes start getting bad. I've still got, I think, some books that Stuart got from down there at the, what do you call that place where they go in for classes?
At the junior college?
Yeah. And I ought to turn them in to either you over there at the library or turn them back there. But they were books he bought.
Mm-hmm.
And it might do somebody some good.
Well, I know he was always interested in genealogy, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Were you interested in your family, or did you know?
Yes, but I don't know enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
I regret so that I never asked questions. You know, my cousin in Canada, she'll write and say, why didn't we ask their parents questions? We just weren't interested when you were a kid. And now we regret it, but what can you do?
And that's why we're asking you questions today. And
don't know much.
We're really, oh, this is very delightful. Thank you so much for the interview.